Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here. Getaway Friday, July the 10th, 2026. 17 minutes past the hour, joined in studio by Matt Morgan, who was here well before the 8:15 deadline this morning. So nobody can say anything to you today for being late. You were on time.
That's good.
You were on time. So there, that's how that cookie crumbles. All right, let's go to the phones here. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, this is Tony calling back in.
Hey, go right ahead.
I wanted to answer Naomi's question. It's the Ohio EMS Licensing Board. They are in Columbus. All that went out of this is I think there should be transparency and accountability. I mean, justice isn't just for some people, all people, no matter their job or their uniform. In my opinion, this is a cover-up and a conspiracy.
So it's the Ohio EMS Licensing Board that will make this decision on Austin Ray, a Marion EMS person, and that will happen probably later on this month.
Correct.
All right. Well, Tony, thank you for calling in. Stay tuned in, and if you feel the need to call back in, please feel free to do so.
Okay, thanks, and have a great day. I appreciate you.
Thank you, Tony. Bye-bye. Well, there you go. Thou that asketh, get an answereth. That's how that goes. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. So that's the Ohio EMS Licensing Board that will make this decision later on this month in regard to Marion EMS agent Austin Ray. And that's how we have that. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, sir.
Hey, Chip, how are you doing this morning?
Good. 67 years, sir.
Well, you know, that's all Terry Tackett's field, but we'd love to see it come back. I know Matt's excited for it to come back. He's never been a part of one of these events.
And you watch the news, sir?
Well, what was on the news, Chip? I watch it occasionally.
It's 16 children.
What was that?
16 children.
The 16-year-old?
No, 16 children. In the house.
16 children in the house?
Yeah, somebody, four people go to jail.
Uh-oh. Well, that's not good.
Yeah.
Well, how are you doing, Chip? Last time we heard you were in the nursing home out here, the Meadows. How are you doing now?
Good.
How was your 4th of July?
Good.
Did you do anything fun?
No, see no fireworks.
You didn't see any fireworks?
No.
Did you watch any on television?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So where are you living at now, Chip?
3388 now.
You're at where?
3388 now.
2388? And which housing complex are you in?
Group home.
Oh, you're in a group home?
Yeah.
Oh, I did not know that. Well, where's the group home located at?
Yeah.
Is it by anything?
No.
No?
Out in the country.
It's out in the country. So do you like the group home, Chip?
Yeah.
Well, Chip, I want you to give your phone number because everybody always asks about you and maybe they'll want to give you a call off the air. What's your phone number, Chip?
740.
262-6214. Well, I know a lot of people have asked about you, so Chip, our Marion celebrity, one of the police dogs, was named after Chip, and he was a longtime A-plus courtesy clerk at Kroger South, probably the most famous ever to be. Chip, 740-262-6214. Chip, feel free to call in anytime. Okay?
Yeah.
How, what'd you do with your gift card, Chip, that you won?
When they still have it.
You still have it? You haven't spent it yet?
Yeah.
Okay, well, make sure you get to the grocery store and buy some good stuff.
Okay.
Thank you, Chip.
Okay.
Bye-bye. All right, our good friend Chip out there this morning. Well, we're hearing from everybody.
Well, that's good. That's what you want.
And by the way, well, I do. We get a lot of questions about Chip, and if you want to call Chip, 740-262-6214. I'm sure Chip would be glad to have a ride somewhere. I'm sure Chip would be glad to talk to you on the telephone, and I'm sure Chip would be glad to meet up with you for dinner.
Well, that's good.
740-262-6214. Apparently in a group home now. I didn't even know we had a group home.
We have somebody who said they'll come to the wrestling events.
Oh, Chip would be there. Chip came a few times. Oh, yes. And when the bad guy wrestler does something wrong, Chip tells him about it. He certainly does. Chip's a lot of fun.
That's good.
Phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. We almost needed security for Chip one time just to... Maybe more security for the wrestler because Chip was about to help the good guy.
Well, that's good. I like that.
Yep, it was a show. It was a show. 740-383-9944. But in regard to Tony Goodrich, and his brother Josh, who died in 2022 at the age of 38. It's the Ohio EMS Licensing Board, and Austin Ray Marion EMT will go before them, or has went before them, but the decision on if his license will be revoked will come down, we think, later on this month, and we'll learn as time goes along. Does anybody have anything to say in regard to that? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If you have anything to say, feel free. Now, Matt, you have not been in here since Monday night city council meeting. Now, basically, decorum got tabled again. I don't know if it... I guess not tabled. It's still in the committee after for I guess, 8 weeks, because it's been in the committee four different times. But I think the big development Monday night was Dan Clark said, after an hour of debate, said, "We need this. Let's send it on to council with a recommendation to approve." And Scott Kreider said, "I'm not giving that a second." And Rob Smith, in maybe one of his finer moments, said, "Neither am I."
Well, I mean, I don't think that the decorum makes a whole lot of. I mean, I don't really see a point for it, I suppose. I mean, maybe... I mean, I guess if they want to put in a time limit, they can, I suppose. But, I mean, I don't really see a point in that either. But, I mean, the decorum... Like, rules aren't really any good unless they're enforced. And, I mean, you know... The chairs of the committee, they have gavels. They can gavel the audience if they think the audience has gotten too rowdy or whatever. Mary Stoneburner, she has the gavel during the city council meeting. She could gavel people. Like, I mean, you know, the gavel exists for a reason. They just don't use it. I don't know what the legislation's going to do.
Well, and that's basically what Aaron Rollins got up and said again Monday. He said, "What is the reason for bringing this legislation?" And nobody could really answer that.
Well, if there's no why, then what do you need it for? I don't think.
Basically, it was we need something codified, and Aaron said, "Why do you need something codified? What we do has been working for a long time. It's Robert's Rules of Order, and these rules are built into this."
I think that's I mean, I think Aaron's got it spot on.
So, you know, it's a weird situation. 740-383-9944, and the other big incident Monday was the man, Mr. Roush, who showed up, contractor here in the Marion area, who says things are not all kosher with the Marion Building Code Department. that a lot of extra money is being charged there, and rates are not set at any certain specific rate. And this is hurting a lot of contractors and apparently making a lot of contractors very angry.
Now, I don't remember what price he gave, but when the gentleman who came to do the whole sales pitch for the building codes department, I mean, he said that he gave a price that it was going to... Now, I don't know, maybe he lied and it's a different price, but I mean, he gave a price, and it was, you know, far more expensive than it cost to go to the state, but my understanding was...
Was it far more? I remember it was more expensive, but
I
it wasn't...
It being, I mean, like I remember it being, you know, I don't know, at least I thought it was, you know, much more, but I mean, I don't know.
I thought the state was something like $100.
Yeah.
It was very cheap. And his was maybe something like... I don't want to say because I don't remember exactly.
I don't remember, but...
It may have been double. It may have been.
I don't remember. But
these guys are talking thousands of dollars that they're spending.
Well, I don't know. Maybe I don't know what all he does, I suppose, but no, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what price he gave, but I mean, it was going to cost more. I think the
I don't remember him saying $1,000.
No. I figure I'd probably remember if it was in the realm of
$1,000. If it was 10 times as much.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, I was expecting the price to go up. I mean, I don't know how much I was expecting it to go up, I guess, but...
I don't think people thought it was going to be that much. Well, so there's that.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, they could always gather an army of contractors who are upset and then come and, like, you know...
Well, I think that's the plan.
Well, look at that.
Yeah, I think this was just the warning. Can you do anything about this? And since they can't, because they're under a one-year contract...
When's that contract up?
I think it's the first of the year.
Okay. Well, it's not too much longer, I guess.
So here we are with that. And again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. If you have anything you'd like to say, feel free to give us a buzz. I think those were the big issues on Monday. E-bike legislation got sent on to City Council so it can be worked on. That's where that is. People like to talk about that. But other than that, I don't know. You know, I'll tell you, early on in the week we were talking about Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce's wedding. And people get very personal about this whole thing. Because I said, I think it's a celebrity wedding.
It is.
Well, that's what I thought. But people, I guess, don't like that. They said, well, they were able to keep it private and so on and so forth.
I mean, there's still two celebrities.
No, I'm saying the whole thing was a production. I mean, it was in Madison Square Garden. They had 1,000 people. There were many celebrities on the guest list. They were married by Adam Sandler.
Yeah,
Paul
like
McCartney performed. Well, they did get married, I guess, earlier in the day or something like that, or the night before, but the production they gave still was a production. I mean, it was a show.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess that event at Madison Square Garden, yeah, certainly. I mean, you know, I mean, I think that you're going to have 1,000 people and all of them are varying levels of celebrity.
Which, again, I'm not saying this is a bad thing. I don't think that's any indication of how far the wedding's going to go. I'm just saying that it definitely was a production. You don't have a wedding at Madison Square Garden and act as if that's not some kind of a show.
Well, I mean, it was, I think. I mean, Adam Sandler was there, being the, you know, he was the guy who married them, apparently. I don't know. They had, I don't recall who they had singing.
Paul McCartney.
Oh, the Beatles guy. Look at that. But I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's,
and people claim he wasn't paid. Now, I know darn well that's not true.
He might not have been paid.
No, he got paid.
He could have been.
Paul McCartney doesn't walk across the street unless he gets paid.
Paul McCartney's still big?
Yeah, Paul McCartney's still big.
Well, I don't know. I don't listen to any Paul McCartney music, but I listen to a lot of the Beatles.
There you go.
Well, yeah, but
I'm just saying, Paul McCartney got paid.
Is he still like living on the Beatles?
Why do? Oh no, he'd had a band after that, Wings, and he's got that Christmas song, and he's done other things. But I don't understand why people take this so personally. The Taylor Swift Travis Kelce wedding.
Take it personally, how?
That you know, as if this is, you know, boy meets girl and true love and so on and so forth. We've got a football player and the most famous singer of this era. Now, this is not normal by any stretch of the imagination.
I mean,
good for them if they can make it work. How much time are these people spending together?
It's about to be a lot more.
Well, I don't know about that.
Well, I think... Well, I mean, I don't know. I guess Taylor Swift might still be out doing her tours, I suppose. But I think Travis Kelce's got 1 year in the NFL left, and then he's retiring.
Well, it's because she needs a backup dancer.
Yeah.
And that's his new...
Look, I think he should have retired last year. Look, I mean, she had him dancing up and down aisles at her concerts and then doing all kinds of stupid stuff. Like, you know, I think, look, and if that's what the man wants to do, then by all means, go for it.
He doesn't want to do that.
But you know,
Taylor Swift told him to do that.
Yeah, I could probably see that. But you know, if that's what he wants to do for the rest of his life, then by all means. But you know, I think it's awfully convenient that he went from being the best tight end in the NFL to being like a very mediocre tight end at best. You know, I think that he should just retire because obviously Taylor Swift is taking precedent.
Oh, she wears the pants in that relationship. There is no doubt about that.
I showed you the picture, right, of I don't know who he was with before, but Travis Kelce with his old girlfriend and then him with Taylor Swift.
Exactly.
Like, completely different person.
Well, listen.
I'm telling you, I think, yeah.
She's got, isn't it billions? She's got billions.
I don't know about billions. I know she's a billionaire.
She's
though.
A billionaire, and she is, globally famous. She can fill up these theaters. I mean, he's part of a team. And he's not even the most famous person on the team.
I mean, he's a close second.
Right. Well, she's not a close second in anything. She's number one. And I bet she's number one at home, too.
Maybe. I don't know.
All I'm saying is when she says...
Do they live together?
Huh?
Do they live together?
Well, they're married. I would hope so.
So? Where does she live?
I don't know the woman's address. I don't know.
You know, Travis Kelce lives in, well, I was going to say Kansas City, but funnily enough, the Kansas City Chiefs aren't in Kansas City. I don't remember where they're at.
It's interesting. By the way, phone lines are open if you'd like to weigh in on any of this. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Now, it is interesting. Adam Sandler's advice, who was the, I guess, minister that day. His advice is to kiss every day. That's how you keep a relationship going. Kiss every day.
I don't know if that works, but okay.
Isn't that sage advice?
I mean, I think Glenn's advice is almost better. I think I don't remember if it was on air or if it was on one of the Friday or the Wednesday night shows. But Glenn at one point said that him and his wife made a rule to where they have to tell each other "I love you" before they go to bed every night. And apparently that thing's been going for
57 years.
Yeah, you know that's you know a lot of "I love yous" before you go to bed.
See, but I don't know if that's right either. What does any of this mean?
I don't know.
Does anybody think this is good advice? Does anybody have advice on a good long marriage? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And maybe you have insight into this because your marriage didn't go very well.
Well, that's good.
Listen, I love you thing before you go to bed.
Oh,
I mean, I could do that, but I don't know that I'd mean it.
You know, well, I don't know. I have a personal theory that all the old people who tell each other that you know, that they love each other. Look, I mean, you can all, I don't know, spending every day with somebody for, you know, 60 years, I mean, I don't know how much I'd have left to say to that person. I'd be thinking of every way to get out of the house possible.
Well, that's the fatal flaw of marriage, is once you spend so much time around that person, you know, eventually, you know everything about them. There's nothing more to learn.
Quite a boring rest of the time.
Well, that's it. And how long does it take to learn everything about somebody?
A few years.
A lot of times you learn that they're nuts, and that's when you get out. You say, whoa.
When you learn that they're nuts, yeah, that's
it. I've learned that you're not exactly balanced correctly.
I've learned enough.
Do you think that your husband or wife should be your problem solver? Because I also think that's a bad idea. Because clearly they're going to give advice slanted to you.
I think that people should probably try to solve their own problems.
Well, but I understand that sometimes people need outside help, but maybe they should go to a therapist. I don't think they should go to their significant other. Their significant other, of course, I think is going to be more inclined to agree with them.
I guess.
So I don't think you're getting the best advice there. And probably a lot of the problems that you have deal with that person.
Yeah. As per marriage.
So I think you got to go outside the box on that one. Again, if you have any thoughts on this or anything else this morning, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. You know, yesterday I went on a little, commentary, I guess, about here's what I have decided about Marion. People are angry at each other, and I think a lot of this deals with social media. You know, we have people who go out there and they say critical things of Marion, and people attack the people who say critical things. And then you have these people, some of them come from out of town, some of them are in town, and they start things, and their whole premise is we're going to be nothing but positive. But that's kind of a dishonest thing to do, because not everything is always positive, and most of the time it's a little treacherous to be positive all the time, and in their case it's a little nefarious, because really what they want is the likes and the shares and all that sort of thing, and it almost seems like one problem we have, and maybe it exists in other cities as well, is that you must be positive all the time, and if you're not positive all the time, then we don't like you, and that's the way it is. And I think that's a little ridiculous, because there are things here that are not positive. Now, there are things here that are positive, but we can't make them up.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I think that being too positive is probably just as bad as being too negative.
Well, but I also think the negative has spawned the positive. I think if you have a negativity coming at such a rate that people dislike it so much, they're desperate to hear somebody say something good. So you get these people who can survive by saying nothing but good things because it offsets the negative.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I guess if I was in a conversation with somebody who was, I don't know, like talking bad about Marion, I guess. I mean, you know, I don't know. I was going to give an example, but I don't really know what to put in there. But, I mean, you know, it wouldn't be unreasonable that I'd find myself defending Marion.
No, and I think there are good things to say.
Yeah, and if this person would just, like, I don't know. Like, if I talked to them on a regular basis, and they just, that's all they talked about was, you know, how bad Marion is, I'd probably find myself talking a lot more about how good Marion is.
Right, I think there always is an offset. And what I don't understand is that I was saying yesterday, certainly things in the 80s were worse here than they are now, and things in the 90s were starting to fall apart. So I don't quite understand it. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Marion, it's not that bad. Defending it. I wanted to share something positive.
Go ahead.
That's going on in Marion today. Across from the old Marion Area Transit, and it will be while supplies last, there's a free produce giveaway. I hauled the produce from the prison myself yesterday. It was all grown by on state prison farms. It's grown by the inmates, harvested by the inmates, packed by the inmates. and distributed to the communities as a way to give back. And
so what kind of produce is it?
Let's see, yesterday I grabbed cabbage and zucchinis and cucumbers and some onions and some green peppers and Swiss chard, which I thought was rhubarb, but I was corrected. And it was picked this week. How's that? And it'll be one bag per family. All you need to do is show up. You don't need an ID. This is something that we're planning on doing every weekend or every week on Fridays in collaboration with the prison. So there's something positive.
So this will be downtown.
And even Negative Nellie's involved in it. Yep. It's 132 South State Street, which the easiest way to tell you is the old Opera House, but it's directly across from Marinary Transit.
And what's the hours?
Starts at noon.
Noon.
Please don't line up early because, you know, we want to be respectful of the businesses that are around. There will be one bag per family or per adult. You don't need an ID. You don't need to have you been here in the past month or anything like that. And we're going to try. This is week one, so everybody's kind of moving pieces. It's a fluid situation, as we like to say in the business world. Working out the kinks, but we're going to try to get some recipes in there, too, so people can get the best. Because now, listen, there's going to be stuff like jicama and things like that. There's turnips. I got turnips yesterday. What the hell do you do with the turnips? Well, one of us came up with a recipe from the Internet. Not me. So people can use some of these stranger vegetables that might come through. Maybe learn a new dish or something.
So you get a bag.
Yes.
Oh, that's nice. But on this topic here that we're discussing this morning, don't you think that a lot of these people whose premise, and it is on the Internet, for being completely positive about Marion, I mean, I think your slogan there, which is on a T-shirt now, Marion, it isn't that bad, is spawned by this.
That came from a realtor. Think about that.
Right.
He's trying to sell houses here.
Right, but don't you think... that a lot, if you have so much negative, it allows this other to come in because they say, well, people are so upset by the negative that we have to have positive. Because I remember a few years ago, I mean, quite a few years ago now, when those yard signs were put in people's yard, you know, heroin's Marion's economy,
mm-hmm.
which was never true. And the Columbus media covered that. That spawned a real need to offset that with positive stories.
Yes.
And I think that is what has happened in recent times, is that people feel that a lot of the postings...
I think a lot of people that are pushing the super positive stuff don't see the negative things. And I don't even want to say negative. I just want to call it reality. They don't see the realities around them every day. Like, you know, they don't see people that need a free head of cabbage. Did I say cabbage? Because cabbage is in there. There's a lot of cabbage. You know, they don't see people that need a free head of cabbage. They don't see people that need to wash their laundry for free because they're out of money for the month and they, you know, rent to due next week. And that's kind of the reason why we try to plan that at the end of the month, because that's when people tend to be out of money. You know, they don't see those realities. They don't see that we'll probably run out of produce today and there will be people that are upset.
And, well, I don't know, though.
Sorry, but we can only do what we can do. I don't think they see people living without water or, you know, they're not choosing to live in a house that's decrepit. They don't have any other options. You know, I don't know if they see those things. And as often as I do, or maybe other people do, and, like, they might be aware of their existence, some of us live it every day.
Yeah, but I honestly don't know if that's true, because within the last 5 years, there is hardly a day that you can go to Walmart or Kroger or McDonald's on 95 and not see a homeless person, somebody there with a sign.
I don't know if they're homeless, but they're panhandling, that's for sure.
Right. So I think that is a fairly new development in the last few years.
Well, I'll just share a little secret. To keep funding my son's orthodontic adventures, I started doing Spark deliveries part-time for Walmart. And just, I'm actually, you know, the strange thing is it's kind of turned into, like, a mission of mine now. I only take the orders that are sort of in the poorer areas, and I know they won't be getting groceries unless I take them to them. But I see those same people. I go to Walmart probably 5 times a day, Monday through Thursday. I see those people there for 8-9 hours, 4 days a week. So I'm not sure they're exactly homeless. They might be making more money than me slinging groceries.
Right, but I think regardless of what their stance is, I don't think people look at that and go, this is a good thing.
No. The one old seller that's out there in the car horse all the time, he has a nicer vehicle than mine. I watched him get in it one day and drive away.
Right, but I think these are the realities, and I also think if you have a child in public school, you understand the realities of what goes on with other students there. So
yes,
I mean,
right now we're trying to gather up all the places they're going to be giving out free school supplies to meet that need.
Right, but I think you certainly do understand this, and I also think when you go to a grocery store...
We understand it. Regular peasant people understand it. You know, we see it. We live in the neighborhoods where it happens.
You know, though, I would argue, I understand, I think the community is far more diverse than two different groups of people. You know, people...
I believe it is, and I mean, there's definitely a more diverse population than not in Marion, but I believe we have the us and them, the haves and the have-nots, in the haves, minds. Because, you know, I was thinking about this morning as I was driving around. That person that said, imagine being a poor person and trying to help poor people, that said that to me, and, you know, obviously they were just trying to hurt my feelings, which they did not. But, you know, they consider me poor. I don't consider myself poor. I consider myself having accomplished more in my life than at one point I thought I would have. You know, I know where my next meal's coming from. My utilities aren't getting shut off. I can eat and wash my clothes, and my bills are paid. I don't think that I'm poor, but the fact that that person thought that I was poor, you know, I mean, my family has real estate, we have assets, but that person thought that I was poor, and it's typically based on where I live is why people think that I'm trash. That person thought it about me, and trying to insult me. Now, what do they think about a person who's actually wondering where their next meal's coming from, or getting their utilities shut off, or getting things repossessed, or they don't have water? Now, if they think that about me, what do they think about an actual person living in poverty?
Yeah, but I know, so I guess where this is bothersome to me when people make that statement. I mean, I know people who might have a little bit of money in the bank, but they might be in an unhappy home, they might be in an abusive relationship, they might be in the position to where they're staying in their abusive relationship because they left, they wouldn't have any money. They might be in a situation to where they're addicted to some kind of pain pill. They might have some kind of medical problem going on that's life or death.
Hey, and amongst the wealthy, the quote-unquote wealthy, alcoholism and cheating and domestic violence those are pretty high rates, too. So, you know, just because they think I have less money than them, that they're somehow better people than me, you know, that's okay. Fine.
But I don't even know.
Like I said, if they think that about me, who has a vehicle, who has property, who, you know, has their utilities, who has appliances and clothing and can provide for their family, what do they think about the people that really can't do all of those things?
Yeah, but, you know, it's a funny thing. It's the people who qualify themselves as not having something that seem to do that. It's never the people who they feel have something who are, like, I always see it coming from that direction. It's the people who feel that they don't have anything who say, you know, there are people who are the upper crust, there are people who look down on us. I can't even remember a time that I've ever heard somebody who was thought of to have money say, well, look at those people and look at that.
Well, Danny Clark has called us those people, but maybe it's never happened to you because you're not considered one of those people.
Well, yeah, but is Dan Clark on the high end? I mean, I don't know.
He thinks he is over there living on Indiana Avenue.
Is that the upper crust side of town? I don't know.
Well, didn't you know? Okay, I'm going to teach you something here. When we started talking about West Side versus East Side in Marion, the dividing line is Main Street. I didn't realize you didn't know that. Main Street. If you're on the west side of Main Street, then you're west side, even if you're on the north side of town. And if you're on the other side, then you're on the east side of town.
Well, I've seen some nice houses on the opposite side of Main Street. on the west side.
Well, Main Street folks might take umbrage with that, so we might be able to.
I mean, if you go down Bell Fountain Avenue, you see nice houses on Windsor, you see nice houses on Girard, you see nice houses on Prospect.
And
so
if you drive to the other end of those streets, like to the north end of those streets, you see not so nice houses. I did, when I was passing literature for Shaver, I did, like, from Fair Park down to Sims Brothers. I did a lot of the first, second, third, and fourth wards. And Blaine Avenue, one end of it, I mean, it looks like a third world country. If you go to the other end of it, the far end, I actually forgot that end existed until I started passing campaign literature. Houses are nice and clean and maintained. I mean, that's just one street, end of the street to the other end of the street is the dichotomy of Marion.
See, I don't know. Matt, what do you think about this?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't really have a whole lot. I don't know. I don't really think about other people's finances, I guess.
I'm saying, do you think that there's an upper echelon of people in Marion going, oh, look at those poor people?
I mean, I've never experienced it, at the very least. I've never seen it.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just missing that whole thing, because
My neighborhood, the police have came. I more than once it's happened, and it's happened to more than just me. I had a situation with a drug dealer in the alley, and I was going to run him out. And he was squatting in an abandoned building. And, you know, the police came, and they talked to him, because he actually called the police on me for harassing him. And, you know, they asked me what I was doing, and did I own this property, and blah, 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 and they always ask me, do you own the property? Yeah. Okay, well, are you sure you own this property? I always have to verify that I actually own the property. And, yeah, I own the property. And, you know, they're like, well, what do you expect in a neighborhood like this? And I've had that said to me more than once. And I was like, a neighborhood like this? I said, where do you live? In an apartment or with your mom? You know, like, this is our neighborhood. This is where we live. I had another... someone actually tried to lure my son into their garage when he was 10 years old. And actually, it had been 7 years ago because today's his birthday. And they called the police on me again because I went down there ready to jerk a knot in somebody. And they called the police on me. And the police came to my house and all but called me white trash and didn't do anything about the fact that these people are trying to lure my son into their garage. They're mad because I went down there asking them, what the hell's going on? You know, and they tried to steal his bike. He had gotten a brand new bike, and they tried to steal it. Like, one of them's riding around on it down the street. No. And they moved. I have a unique way of rallying the neighborhood that if you pull some stuff, you're going to want to move soon. So
I'm the more I'm thinking about this now, listen, there are some horrible neighborhoods off of Center Street that are definitely to the east of Main Street.
Well, if it's north of Main Street, too, that doesn't count.
Apparently not east either, because if you go down 309 and you're going toward Harding, a lot of those side streets you would turn down would not be great neighborhoods.
Well, I'll just be politically incorrect over there. You're talking, like, around the... I don't want to say Jefferson Street, because Jefferson Street...
No, I'm talking about, like, on the side of the Jersey.
Really?
Oh, yes.
What do you consider a bad neighborhood?
Well, I'm just saying if the houses are not maybe in the best of repair and the siding is falling off...
That part of town has definitely decayed compared to what it used to be 15, 20 years ago. The whole town, and that's the thing, is what the people that have lived here their whole lives... And passing campaign literature, I'll tell you what, it opened my eyes to some of the areas that used to be super nice. Where I grew up at 911 Henry Street, and I would go down through that area passing literature, and some of the houses are still very well maintained, but some of them, oh my gosh, it brought tears to my eyes.
I'll tell you.
Down where my grandma lived, I mean, it's not, and that wasn't the greatest neighborhoods back then, but it was clean, and people maintained their houses, and everywhere. Yeah, Chateau. I was going through Chateau, and there's a bunch of houses.
Of course there is. Well, during the fair, I was in Fair Park because I was driving out of there after the one day after the fair, and there are houses that look great, and there are houses right next door that look not so great. So I don't think this is as
Fair Park used to be very well maintained, the whole area. People wanted to move to Fair Park.
Well, they did, and the Fair Park School was seen as one of the best elementary schools in
Memory.
You
grew up over there, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
I remember you saying you went to Fair Park School.
Yeah.
Fair Park
and moved to that area because of the schooling over there.
Yes, and people wanted to live in that area. Even my husband, I mean, we've got rentals. We considered buying in Fair Park many times because it was such a desirable area.
Yeah, there was a pool there. There was a pool there. There was a store there. There was a school that was seen as one of the best, and it really
was
one of the best elementary schools.
That's where I grew up, was Oakland Heights. We had, you know, our little stores. We had the school. We had a playground. We had a park. We had a church right in the middle
of Fair Park.
Yep.
But the thing of it is, I guess the point that I'm trying to make is that I don't know where these upper crust people looking down live, and I'm not sure where the lower looking up live. I guess I don't see that. Attitude, I think there's a different attitude amongst different people, but I'm not sure that's driven by money. I think that's driven by personality.
I think if you have, and I don't want to use the word privilege to trigger anyone, I think if you have less opportunities or you have less, the harder your struggle is, the less positive you are about life. And the more you see others struggle, the more, like, sometimes I feel really defeated because I see what other people go through and how hard they have to struggle, and there's nothing that we do or can do to help them not struggle.
Well, I don't know.
I guess nothing's being done to help adjust the situation in certain things.
Well, I guess I just look around and I say, well, you know, here's the thing. We try the best with what we have, and unfortunately, in all the years we've been around, the whole country, we have veterans who are homeless. We have homeless just in general. There are kids who are homeless.
Maybe if we all just stepped up and tried a little bit or a little bit harder. You know, Kennedy said, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. Maybe if we want to love our city and we really want to embrace that, maybe we all just actually start. I'm using the term love your neighbor. Maybe we all just do one small act of kindness for our neighbor, and that would make a change in Marion. But remember, free produce, that's how this all started.
There we go. It's 12 o'clock today, 132 South State.
Take care, guys.
Hey, thanks. Bye-bye. What do you think, Matt? We got a minute left in this hour.
I mean, I think a lot of it might have to do with, like, I mean, I don't know how old the houses in Marion are or anything like that, but I mean, you know, I mean, if a house is like, I don't know, 100 years old and it was maintained well by the previous owners, then I think that house is probably going to be in better condition.
Listen, I think one thing people don't take into account, if you are a senior citizen who's lived there for 30, 40 years and you no longer can get out and do your yard work or side your house that maybe you used to be able to do, it probably doesn't look as good as it used to. And maybe you don't have the money to pay somebody to do that because you're on Social Security now. I don't know. I think these things should be looked into, but we'll look into them after this break. Stay tuned.
Like Dean of the White House Press Corps, Helen Thomas.
Helen, how do you deal with criticism? Because certainly 10 presidents, you've had your share of criticism. What?